leaders in our country, and they'll run around and say, character doesn't count. What you do behind the scenes doesn't matter. It's how you lead. That is a lie. You cannot lead properly unless you are living a life of strong character. Was terrific. If you have your Bible this morning, we are in 1 Corinthians 13. That is page 1224 if you're using a pew Bible. And if you will stand with me, please, we're reading verses 11 through 13, just 11, 12, and 13. And the Bible says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for Father's Day, Dad's Day. Thank you for a wonderful testimony of a missions trip and a tribute to a father. And we're so blessed to have our church family, to hopefully to encourage and edify one another, to exhort one another to good works. And I pray in just the next few minutes that we take that we would exhort the men in this room to be men, to stand up, to be men of character, to be leaders, godly, following you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. James Dobson said a dad should do five things in the family: to lead, to be the spiritual head, to provide, to protect, and to discipline. And obviously, there are so many things we could talk about in reference to Father's Day and to the men that are in the room. And there's a million things I'd like to say. Thankfully, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad is still with me. He provided those things that James Dobson said should take place. Obviously, as any man, he was better in some areas than in others, but he did them all, and I'm very thankful for him. This 1 Corinthians 13 says, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." There's some things that we need to do, men, to be grown up. Just because you reach a certain age on the calendar doesn't mean that you're a man. The Bible says the definition for a man is to put away childish things. So what are the things that we should put away? Well, there's a bunch of them. But one thing I noticed that when you're young, that you want things and you're selfish. You watch kids around Christmas time and they want every present to be theirs. And they're disappointed when somebody else gets something because they wanted it to be theirs, especially the big one. And so the term mine is a constant thing that comes out of little boys and little girls, and we just recognize that's something that needs to be worked out of them, and as they grow up, hopefully that starts to go away. But sad to say, a lot of times the mine never goes away. And if you are still practicing selfishness as an adult, you need to grow up. Number one, put away selfishness. Number two, stop sidestepping responsibility. I call that procrastination. Now, a lot of times we look at procrastination as no big deal. I'll do tomorrow. Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. That's what a lot of people's slogan is. But you know what? Some things just need to be done, to be prepared, to get ready. If you see a job that needs to be done, you do it. Dishes in the sink for a week, somebody's procrastinating. Now, that's just one example. A garage that hasn't been swept for a long time, someone is procrastinating. A car that is constantly dirty, someone is procrastinating. Now, I'm not saying in the wintertime in Maine it is just miserable to keep the car clean, but at some point, a layer or two needs to be taken off of that thing. Somebody is procrastinating if those little things are not being taken care of. If you know that you have a job that needs to be done and you keep putting it off, I'm telling you, you'll never achieve satisfaction from procrastination. You will achieve satisfaction when you do the job and you get it done. It's a sign of immaturity if you're constantly procrastinating. 1 Corinthians 16:15 says they addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. Addicted to serving the Lord. I love that. Put away selfishness. Put away sidestepping responsibility. What are you addicted to? They addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. Obviously, I could pitch a fit on a lot of things that people are addicted to: pornography, television, video games, things that just suck up your time. I've noticed, I don't know, perhaps maybe one of you have one of these. It used to be a phone was just to make phone calls. Now it's literally a computer you carry around with you all the time. I've noticed that there's a little thing on there called YouTube. And on YouTube, you can just hit YouTube and you can just keep scrolling through videos that they will show you, things that you want to watch. And the next thing you know, you look down and you've been scrolling through YouTube. You've learned absolutely nothing, but 2 hours have gone by while you're just doing this. You know what? That is a total waste of time. If you can't control one of these things, get yourself a flip phone, use it for phone calls, and throw this thing away. See, the question is, what are you addicted to? And only you know what it is. How about addicting yourselves to the work of the Lord? How great would that be? That was the testimony of 1 Corinthians 16. They had addicted themselves to the work of the ministry, put away selfishness, procrastination, and lastly, pettiness and pride. When you're young, you think you're something special. I was so full of myself. I mean, when I think back of who I was as a young person, I am so disgusted. It just makes me sick. I just thought I was the answer to everything. I was certainly the greatest gift to women that they had ever seen. There's no doubt in my mind, you know? Now, we laugh about those things now, but it's a sign of immaturity when all you do is think about yourself. When you get up in the morning, what are some of the first thoughts that you have? Whatever they are, they start to define who you are. Someone said, what you think about God defines who you are. I agree with that. So, put away. To be a man, I put away childish things. Not only do you put away, you put on some things. I've already read 1 Corinthians 16:13, but I want to read it again because it is so important in the put away. 1 Corinthians 16, hang on, it used to be in my Bible. In verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Put away certain things. You also need to put on. Be strong. All men want to be physically strong, but it's not the physically strong that lead. Now, it's nice to have some physically strong people. When I was in the oil industry for years, we used to change out oil tanks in basements. And it was a miserable job, and tanks are heavy. And so what we used to try to do is employ people with strong backs and weak minds. We'd look for someone that was really strong that was clueless, and then we would hire them to do the oil tank business, and we would just tell them how much fun it was, how much they'd enjoy it. Of course, we were lying through our teeth, but you're looking. Every now and then, it's really helpful as a leader to have a strong idiot on your team, you know? But strength alone does not make a leader. Physical strength, I should say. What we need for leaders are people of men of strong character. Those are the leaders. And I am so ticked off in the United States of America today for our leaders with little or no character. For a long time, we've had leaders in our country, and they'll run around and say, character doesn't count. What you do behind the scenes doesn't matter. It's how you lead. That is a lie. You cannot lead properly unless you are living a life of strong character. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Obviously, it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. Strong in faith. Strong in faithfulness. Dad, your job is a teaching position. Did you hear me? Your job is a teaching position. How you live, how you get up in the morning, your attitude, what you pass on to your kids. Let me tell you something. Dad, my father didn't do anything that I didn't see. I was constantly a student of my father. And your kids are a student of yours. And as we become grandparents, whether we like it or not, our grandchildren are students of what we do. Be strong in faith, be strong in faithfulness, and obviously be strong in faithful protection. You are the gatekeeper. I read an article recently, and I liked it. I'll share it with you. A daughter needs dad to do three things. Number one, he needs to be there for her. Your presence is important. A dad can be an absentee even if he's at home, if he doesn't pay attention to the kids or spend some time with them, you know. So you need to be there. Number one, be present. Number two, tell her you love her. Because if you don't, some loser that doesn't will tell her that he does, and she will believe him. Make sure your daughter, your son, knows that they are loved and they know what real love is. Because there will be those that will come on in their life that will lie to them for their own purposes. Be there. Tell your lover. Teach her the truth. And lastly, so you be there, tell your lover. And I like the last one. The third one was teach her to shoot. And I agree with that. So put away, put on. And lastly, put forward. Go with me to 2 Kings. I've got one last passage that I like a lot. 2 Kings chapter 2. David is speaking to Solomon. Page 387 if you're using a pew Bible. 1 Kings. Did I say 2 Kings? 1 Kings. 1 Kings, page 387. I apologize. 1 Kings, chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Dad, you should look your son in the eye every now and then and say, be a man. And he ought to know what being a man is. Man is standing strong, doing right, exhibiting character, growing up, standing against evil, saying what needs to be said. Don't worry about whether you're liked or not. God will take care of that. Make sure that you do what pleases God. And if it doesn't please anyone else, it doesn't matter. Because if you try to please everyone else and leave God out, you will die in misery. On the other hand, if you do what you know God wants, you are being a man. Amen. Be a man, David said to his son Solomon. And in verse 3, he says, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Here's the promises of God. Obey him. Follow his word. And generationally, it can continue to happen. That's what David said to Solomon. I want you to know, guys, I hesitated to end the message on a downward note, and I do not mean this to be a downer. But there's going to come a time, guys, when you will look at your kids. Maybe you will have a chance to, maybe you will not. But like David said to Solomon, I'm going to die. Dads, at some point, you will pass on from this earth and you will leave behind only the memories of what they saw you do. What will you be remembered for? We've had three men in this church pass away recently. Good guys. Privileged to know them. It happens. People move on. I was reading in my devotions lately, Psalm 71, 17 to 18. I'll close with this. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I felt like, you know what, Stan? I've grown up in the Lord, in a Christian home. Psalm 71:17 describes me. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I've gotten to live in a Christian home, and I've gotten to brag about Jesus Christ my entire life. I want you to know nothing. I've had, in all the phases of my life, I told my wife recently, I said, in all the phases of my life, there's never been a time, even when I was in grade school, junior high, there are different phases where it's the sports time, it's the chasing girls time, it's the buying new cars time, it's the getting a job time, it's going off to college time, it's getting married time. It's all the phases of your life. There's never been a time in my life where the first thing I didn't want to do was tell people about Jesus Christ. I love knowing Jesus. Been that way all my life. I love this. Verse 18. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, that's me. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. It is my prayer. I can show God strong and show his power to everyone that is to come. Because the day is going to come when a lot of people in this room will move on to our eternal reward through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you folks that are younger are going to be doing our job. And we need you to carry the torch, to carry the baton, to share to the generations to come that you need your Heavenly Father in your life. He's the only one that matters.